Today is the Feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, June 24th. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the book of Isaiah. Give ear, ye islands, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. He hath been mindful of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hath protected me, and hath made me as a chosen arrow. In his quiver he hath hidden me. And he said to me, Thou art my servant Israel, for in thee I glory. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, Behold, I have given thee to be the light of the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation even to the farthest part of the earth. Kings shall see, and princes shall rise up and adore for the Lord's sake, and for the Holy One of Israel who hath chosen thee. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Elizabeth, full time of being delivered, was come, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and kinfolk heard that the Lord had showed his great mercy towards her, and they congratulated with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him by his father's name, Zachary. And his mother answering said, No, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And demanding a writing table, he wrote, saying, John is his name. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these things were noised abroad over all the hill country of Judea. And all they that had heard him laid them up in their heart, saying, What a one think ye shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And Zachary his father was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, because he hath visited and wrought the redemption of his people. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist, as you know, is a saint who is named on multiple occasions, even at every Mass that we have. His name is mentioned during the Confiteor. His name is mentioned at the last Gospel. He has a prominence in the Church, and of course today it even supersedes the Sunday after Pentecost, the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. And so we need to think a little bit about St. John the Baptist, what kind of a man he was, what he did, and maybe what he can show us what we need to do today. St. John the Baptist, of course, was such that he was foretold by the angel Gabriel when the angel Gabriel went to see Our Lady in Nazareth and told her that she announced that she would become the mother of God. As proof that this was true and that the angel certainly had credibility, the angel Gabriel said, "In your kinswoman Elizabeth will bear a child. She's already in her sixth month." And so it is such that already we see this prominence of St. John the Baptist. The Blessed Virgin Mary goes to see, she goes in haste, it says in Scripture, and goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, because she knows, too, that Elizabeth, being the age that she was, she would have a difficult time in the process of childbearing. When the two met, Elizabeth and her kin, Mary, at that meeting, Elizabeth, of course, is enlightened by the Holy Ghost that this is going to be the child that Mary is bearing will be the Redeemer, the Messiah. And at the same time, the child, St. John the Baptist, who's in the womb, leaps for joy. The event is such that it corresponds to the sanctification of St. John the Baptist in the womb. At this point in time, 3 months before his birth, the original sin is removed from his soul, and sanctifying grace enters in, even before he's born. He's one of just two or three that's born without original sin, because he was sanctified in the womb. And so it's a special privilege that was given to St. John the Baptist for the role that he was to play in the work of redemption. St. John the Baptist was to be a herald of the coming of our Lord. He was to announce his coming so that people would be ready for him when he did come. And so he was such that he lived his life and he preceded the activity, the public life of our Lord. And there were disciples that followed St. John the Baptist. Some of those disciples actually became the apostles. They were meant to be the apostles of our Lord because they were looking for the Messiah. They knew that he was about to come. All of the prophecies led to his coming soon. In the Old Testament, Daniel said that it would be coming when the Messiah would come. And so it was St. John the Baptist that was preaching about the coming of the Messiah and also telling them what they needed to do in order to prepare for his coming. It's interesting to note this and to see this, and to see that, of course, St. John the Baptist was going about. He had qualities of humility and of justice and of the fact that he wanted to do what God wanted. He was honest about what he was doing. He told them that they needed to practice penance and prayer. Penance and prayer were his prescriptions at this point in time. The time was such that it was not exactly the best. Sometimes we like to visualize the time of when our Lord lived and think maybe that things were wonderful at this time. They weren't. They were living in a society that was morally depraved and very hedonistic, very materialistic. And so St. John the Baptist, in order to help them, he said, you need to practice penance and pray. He went about in a hair shirt. He lived in the desert. He was not a very popular person according to the ways of that time. The current vogue was not to be like this. Of course, there was a desire for material things. There was a problem with materialism. There was time also they were morally depraved. A lot of problems with the impurities that were prevalent at the time. And St. John the Baptist also had the audacity to even claim that there's a problem with King Herod. He had the audacity to point out that he was living in sin with his brother's wife. He had no care for human respect. He was concerned about the rights of God. And so because of his openness, of what people needed to do, that they needed to practice penance and prayer, that they were very open. He was very open about some of the ills of the time. And if you imagine that King Herod was living this kind of life, it gave the people in a certain way justification to live lives similar manner. He does it. He's the king. Why should we be any different? And so because of it, he found himself in prison. He found himself in prison, and of course, he wouldn't change his ways. And of course, on Herod's birthday, there was a dance that was performed, and so it was Philip's wife, actually, who he's living with. It was her daughter. She did the dance, and he promised that he would give anything she wanted up to half the kingdom. The only thing he wouldn't give is his own right to his own kingdom. And so she didn't know what to do, so she asked her mother, "What do I do?" And she, full of hatred for what St. John the Baptist was all about, because he had openly had said that there was a problem here, she said to her daughter, "Ask for the head of St. John the Baptist on a platter." She wanted him beheaded. There was a little bit of goodness in Herod, because Herod hesitated. He didn't want to do this. But because of the oath he took, he went through with it and had St. John the Baptist beheaded. And so it was. St. John the Baptist led people to our Lord. He was the precursor. He openly told people what they needed to do in a society which had gone wrong. It's very much for us today a lesson as well. We live in, if you haven't noticed, in a morally depraved society. We live in a society where there's all kinds of impurities that should, as St. Paul say, not even be named among you. And everybody wants to try to say that everything's okay, and the only thing that's wrong is you people who want to condemn this kind of living. And so we see that we're not living in much different kind of situation. And by having this kind of a situation, it makes it so that it is difficult for our Lord to be received in society. It makes it so that they prefer the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, hedonism of this world, so that they end up being such that they cannot be open to the graces of God, the grace that our Lord wants to give to us and give to them. The society that we live in wants us to just be quiet and even accept the way things are and even approve the things the way they are. It's even such that the laws of this country are even being formed with this in mind. And we are told to be quiet. St. John the Baptist gives us the example. He says we cannot compromise in these cases. We have to openly be such that when asked, we can't deny those things which are consequences of our faith, the morals that are held by the Catholic Church. It's also interesting to see what St. John the Baptist prescribes for the time and what, of course, is necessary for us as well. His prescription was one of prayer and penance. Prayer and penance. In order to be such that we make due penance and pray because our Lord wants to be part of us. He wants to be part of our life. And the only way that things are going to turn around is by prayer and penance. And that's the same message that Our Lady of Fatima says. Prayer and penance. It's a consistent message. And it's important for us to embrace that message. To realize that we need to practice prayer and penance. That we can't live this life of comfort that the world wants us to live. That we can't just be quiet in all of this. That we can't just go along with the way the world is. It's the tendency that we have is just going with the flow of falling prey to human respect, of just going along to get along. But of course, it requires for us to be such that we practice prayer and penance, following our Lord in his crosses. If we want to be united to our Lord, we have to be able to put into practice this idea of prayer and penance. We cannot be like the world. The world and our Lord are diametrically opposed. And so on this day, when we see this, and we see that this is what's going on in the world, we see that the world is not much different than the time of St. John the Baptist. We see what he was telling people they needed to do, and it's the same thing that we need to do today. It's very easy to go along with the world. It's very comfortable to go along with the world. It's very, you know, it's such that your children will probably say, Dad, Mom, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to live this kind of life? It's easier to go the way of the world. Look at this. It's so convenient, so easy, so wonderful. You're just an old fogey. You're just out of place. You're such that you just can't get along with the way things are in the world today. I wouldn't be surprised if your children sold you these kinds of things. But what's the end? What's the end result? What will you end up in that kind of a situation? There'll be such that there'll be much suffering because all the things that are promised by the world will not come true. And in the end, there will be remorse. And there will be an understanding at the end that I should have done what I was meant to do, especially when we have to meet our end and render account for our lives. And so we celebrate this feast of St. John the Baptist. We need to then also be listening to his message. We need to follow what he says. We need to live this life that he's prescribing in order to sanctify our souls. It's essential. It's the essential message. This is what we've been told time and time again. It's not such that it's an easy life to live. But if we live this life, which is not so easy, when we come to our end, we will at least have the comfort of knowing that we did what God wanted us to do, that we were such that we united ourselves to him. We were such that we were faithful in the difficulties of this life, realizing that this life is meant to be a means by which we reach God, so that we can use the crosses, the sacrifices, the penances that we perform in order to please God, to be united to him in his cross, so we also then can be united to him in his glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.